Book of Acts, Acts chapter 8. It's kind of hard to believe that our week is already done. It's been such a wonderful week. We have thoroughly enjoyed our time with you all. And it seemed like 3 years, been a long time, and we've missed you guys, and it's been so good to be back and to have good fellowship in the Word. And we just want to thank you all for all your kindness to us and letting us come and serve the Lord here. We have just certainly enjoyed our time with you. Hope that the Word of God has been a help to you. Acts chapter 8, there are so many different ways we could go with the greatness of the gospel, because the gospel literally affects every area of our lives. We've seen our position on Monday night, how the gospel affects our position eternally. Last night, we saw how the gospel affects our practice, how we live. Now we're going to see tonight how the gospel affects what we proclaim. And this is an area that probably all of us as believers struggle with, and that is the sharing of the gospel, being a witness for Jesus Christ. Probably all of us struggle with this at some point in our lives. And one of the reasons that we struggle with this in so many different ways is because at the core of it, we're scared. We feel so inadequate. And I understand that. I do too. I mean, it's sometimes it's nerve-wracking. And so the reality is this is, what I want to do tonight is I want to encourage you. I want you to leave here tonight strengthened and encouraged and in the right way emboldened in the gospel. Do you know why? Because look, you know what we are? The Word of God tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that we have this treasure in earthen vessels, and that treasure is the gospel within. And the word and earthen vessels means clay pots. It's fragile clay pots. And in Bible days, what he was referring to was to the equivalent of our paper plates, like the super cheap ones from Walmart. You know that if you put baked beans on it, they soak through in like 5 seconds. And you know you have to hold it in the center, because if you put baked beans on it, flops over and your potato chips and everything else falls off. Back in they used to have these. It was super cheap. These little disposable pottery. And they would use them for all kinds of things, but they were disposable, and they had almost no value. They were like worthless. And what he was saying is this: is you know what, our bodies, we have these fragile, disposable bodies that have no value in and of themselves. And in Bible times, they would never dream of taking something of extreme value like a perfume or a treasure of any kind or anything that was valuable and putting it in one of those fragile clay pots. And so he was really given a beautiful picture saying, look, we have the treasure of the gospel within. Here we are, a fragile clay pot. We're disposable, we're weak, we're fragile, yet we have the gospel within. And that is the glory of the gospel, the power of the gospel in us. So you know what? Yeah, we're weak. Yes, we're fragile. But you know what the great news is? We have the power of the gospel within. And that can encourage us. And I want to really point you just a couple passages of Scripture, and I want you to look at Acts chapter 8. And I want you to see a story that I hope will encourage you. Look at Acts chapter 8. And begin with me, please, at verse 25. It says, and they, and this is the disciples, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. He arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to his chariot. Philip ran thither to meet him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said unto him, understandest thou what thou readest? Look at verse 31, he says, and he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The first principle I want you to see tonight is this. Look at me. God uses people to reach people. He doesn't use angels. He doesn't use any other divine method. You know what he uses? People. He asked a simple question. Now, this was supernatural. The Holy Spirit is not going to come whisper in your ear and say, I want you to go to the corner of Saginaw and Crates, and there's going to be somebody there driving a blue Toyota Camry, and I want you to knock on their window. He's not going to do that to you. If you think that's happening to you, you've had too much pizza right before you went to bed, okay? But at this time, this is what God did. And so there's a divine appointment. And by the way, God does bring people into our lives, and we need to be very aware of the opportunities that we have of sharing the gospel. But he uses people. And he asked a simple question. He said, hey, he didn't say, hey, if you die today, do you know where you'd go? Heaven or hell, which will it be? He didn't do that. He said, do you understand what you're reading? Because he heard him reading Isaiah, and he said, how can I accept someone should what? Guide me. Do you know what? Look at me. Here's the problem. We've lost our focus. We have become so focused on, and I'll be honest with you, I don't even like the term soul winner anymore. You know why? Because the end result is to get somebody to pray a prayer to, quote, get saved. Look at me. So what happens if I share the gospel and they don't get saved? I'm not a soul winner. What's the opposite of being a winner? So now you're a soul loser. Oh, no, I failed. I messed up. It's my fault. No, it's not. That's not Bible. You know what we are? It's a privilege to be. We're a part of God's process. That's all we are. You know what 1 Corinthians 3 tells us? We are co-laborers with Christ. When we realize as a child of God, some plant, some water, who gives the increase? It's God. Why are we honoring men? Why is it that when men stand up in the pulpits, and I've heard this in pulpits, getting up and bragging about how many people are saved under their ministry, they're not giving honor to Christ. They're lifting up themselves. You know what? Praise God for every soul that comes to Christ, and we're privileged. But let me tell you something. You're only a part of the process. You plant, you water, but God's the one who gives the increase. You know what? He says, and every man will receive a reward according to his own labor. Some of you have shared the gospel many times with people, and you've never seen anyone come to Christ, and you have felt like a failure. You are not a failure. You're faithful. And if no person ever makes a decision to receive Christ when you've shared the gospel, and yet you have given the gospel every time, God says, I promise my reward to you because you are co-laboring with me for the cause of the gospel. So be encouraged. God uses people to reach people. Continue the text with me, please. And so we're going to skip down a verse or two, and I want you to look at verse number 34. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? And look what it says in verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and proclaimed. The word preach does not mean that he got a message. It means to proclaim. He communicated. And he preached unto him what? Jesus. Now look this way, please. Don't miss this truth. We talked about this on Sunday morning. The central figure of the gospel is who? Jesus Christ. He is the focus of the gospel. I said it Sunday morning. I'll say it again. If you are not sharing Jesus, you are not sharing the gospel. What I am so tired of, and it just drives me nuts, is there are people who keep coming up, another golden path to successful soul winning. It's another gimmick, another plan. If you'll do my plan, you'll use my technique, and then people are going to make the decision. Had a guy went through, I'm not even going to name it, not going to name what it was. He went through this thing, he had to memorize, and when you went through it, you memorized the 45-minute presentation. And one guy raised their hand in the class to the guy who was the writer of this and said, well, what if you get to the end of your presentation and they don't accept Christ? He said, well, you just start over again because you messed up somewhere. My plan's guaranteed to work. And there are people who are making their living trying to tell you and I how to be better. Look, we're not salesmen. Did you know that we're ambassadors for Christ? We have a message from the king under his authority. It's not an ambassador was only allowed to say what the king told him to say. We are only allowed to say what the king says. And the message of the king is the message of the cross. It's the gospel. He preached unto him Jesus. He didn't go through some technique. All he did was share Christ. Look at me. You know what? Here's the reality. Some of you struggle because, and I've been in the same boat. What if they ask me a question? I don't know all the possible answers. Look, I don't know what if they ask me if Adam have a belly button? I don't know. Where did Cain get his wife? Can God make a rock so big he can't lift it? I mean, all these deep, hard theological problems. I don't know. What if they're of a religion that I'm not familiar with and I don't know how to answer a lot of their doctrine? Look at me. Here's the reality. You already have the one and only answer to all of man's needs, and that's Christ. It's the gospel. You're sharing Christ. Look, so let me, I want to put this on the level to where every one of us can grab this. When I'm talking about sharing the gospel, I'm talking about Christ, I'm talking about the three non-negotiables of the gospel that we talked about Sunday morning. He's number one, the Son of God. He is God in the flesh. Look, if you're not presenting that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, 100% God, 100% man, you're not presenting the gospel. As God, he was sinless and able to do only the supernatural, which would be to forgive sins and to be able to be our sacrifice, our substitute on the cross. As man, if he was not man, he couldn't actually die, could he? And could therefore, could never fulfill what was required by God, which was a blood sacrifice for sin. Which means he couldn't raise from the dead if he wasn't really man. And just that's just touching the tip of the iceberg from being a high priest to the sacrifice and on it goes. You're denying the scripture. That's what you must proclaim that. Number two, you must proclaim that Christ died for our sins. And that's the only sacrifice God would accept. That's it. Number three, you must proclaim that Christ rose from the dead. Now that's simple, but I'm going to tell you something. Those are the three big stumbling blocks from people coming to Christ. Because that's the gospel. Yet, the gospel is what must be presented in presenting a person. So let me encourage you. If you may need to, in your Bible study, you might need to sit down with your pastor and say, okay, pastor, I need one, two, or three verses. I would get two or three verses, memorize them on the deity of Christ, the humanity of Christ, the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You need to get that in your heart so that when you are sharing the gospel, you're sharing Christ. It's not a logical argument to get them to pray a prayer at the end. It's presenting Christ. Now, look at how our passage continues. It says this. And he preached unto Jesus. As they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip answered and said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Look this way. When he talked about baptism, apparently he had come, he had proclaimed so much of Christ that here's what the eunuch understood. He understood that this relationship with Jesus Christ was a reality. And that when someone enters into a personal relationship with Christ, the very first outward manifestation that I have a relationship with Christ, that first step obedience is baptism. And he said, what hinders me from being baptized? Another, what would hold me back from identifying that I have trusted Christ? And so here's the test. Here's what he said. He said, if you ask Jesus into your heart. Is that what it says? He said, no. He said, well, if you've taken communion, right? If you've had somebody pray over you? No. If you believe with all thine heart, thou mayest. Now look at the rest of the verse, because this is very interesting. And he said this. He answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Look at me. That was his confession of faith in Christ. And you know what Paul said? Or excuse me, Philip said? Okay. And what happened? Look what it says. He commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down both in the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. Look at me. Third truth that we see in this principle is this, is that we are not saved by a prayer. There's no record of a prayer being recorded here. He believed in his heart. He confessed with his mouth the Lord Jesus. Look at me. So my point to you is this. Your whole goal should not be to try to get somebody to pray a prayer to say the right words the right way in the same order. To understand who Jesus Christ is and allow the Spirit of God to work in their heart to that understanding. Listen, what's amazing, that guy was ready, wasn't he? Searching. Don't be discouraged when it takes a long time to share Christ with someone. It may take a long time for their understanding to change. My uncles on my dad's side of the family, years and years, my dad's been witnessing to my Uncle Michael for over 50 years, and my Uncle Michael is still not saved. Do I believe the gospel can still save him? Absolutely. Absolutely. It's the power of the gospel. Look, it's not a technique. It's not my plan. It is having confidence in the power of the gospel, giving the gospel, letting God do the work, but understanding this. My whole goal cannot simply be for me to get somebody to pray a prayer so I feel good about myself. It must be for that person to come to the point of the understanding of who Christ is, to where they are willing to believe the gospel, to believe Christ, for that is when the power of the gospel will take effect in their life. Now, I want to encourage you. I want you to go to one other passage with me tonight, and I want you to go to Romans chapter 10. This is a familiar passage to you, but I want to encourage you with this. In Romans chapter 10, we see a little bit of a beautiful argument for the gospel and being a witness for Jesus Christ. And we're going to look in verse, we're going to begin in verse 12. He says, "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all them that call upon him, saying salvation is available to anyone, whether they're a Jew or not. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Verse 14, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher or a proclaimer?" Don't you love this? Look at me. Do you see the beauty of this argument? He says, hey, look, doesn't matter, Jew or Gentile, to say he's the same Lord is good to anyone who believes in him. And by the way, whosoever. Boy, I'll tell you what, I don't like theological systems that try to take God and put him in their theological box. I think he uses the language he desires. He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then he asks a question. How are they going to call on someone they haven't believed on? How can they believe in someone that they've not heard? And how can they hear of somebody if somebody doesn't tell them? Isn't that a beautiful, just a beautiful argument that's laid out that's impressing on us? Listen, God is willing to save people. Doesn't matter their ethnicity, doesn't matter their background, doesn't matter their culture. He will save anyone who calls on him. He says, but how can they believe on somebody? How can they call in faith upon somebody that they've not believed in? How can they believe in somebody they've never heard of? How can they hear of somebody? How can they hear of this one if nobody ever tells them? Hey, you know what that means? Look, you realize there are people that you have interaction with that pastor and myself we'll never get to meet or know. And you know what? What a privilege it is to know that God uses us. Remember we talked about that the gospel is revealed from faith to faith. We're to be revealers, manifestations of the gospel. In your life as a believer, God can take your life and use you to tell someone about Christ, someone who's never heard. Or maybe they've heard of, but they don't know. Some people, you know, the only thing they know about Jesus Christ is a swear word. That's all they've heard. So they know nothing about him. How can they, maybe you be the first one to tell them who Christ is. And when you tell them who Christ is, well, now they've heard about him. They have the opportunity to understand and believe the gospel. They can believe him. And if they believe in him, then they can call upon him. And if they'll call upon him, they will be. Hallelujah. That's the power of the gospel. Look at what it says, and then I want you to see this. He says, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, bring good glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah hath said this, Lord, who hath believed our report? Not everyone believes the gospel. But then he comes to this conclusion, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Can I encourage you with something tonight? You have everything you need. You have everything you need to be a witness for Jesus Christ. You do. Well, I'm not educated. I've never been to Bible college. So what? Well, I've never gone through a soul winning program. Who cares? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the. Look at me. It's not that plan. It's the word. I want to ask you a question. Do you have the word? Then you have all you need right here. And I want to go back to our first verse that we talked about on Sunday morning that started this whole thing up. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the what? It's the power of God. Look at me. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing, even dividing us into soul and spirit and joints and marrow. To discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. When you are talking to someone and they're arguing and they're going back and forth, you know what you keep doing? You say, well, and even if they don't believe the Bible, I don't believe the Bible. Keep giving them the, because it's God's power. We're going to close on a simple illustration. I was in Tulane, Illinois, and I was preaching at the church. Church of around 18, actually less than that, people, 14 people. And on the last night of the service, on the last night, I was supposed to be teaching on a subject, and a guy came in and brought seven of his unsaved relatives there. So now there's 21 people in the church, seven of them, one-third of my congregation is unsaved. So do you think I'm going to go with what I was going to go with? No way. So I taught on the gospel. When the service was over, I stood at the back door, and they came walking out, and they all walked by me like this. And the old guy, he was on a, he had oxygen tank, he walks by me, and I'm like, thank you for coming. I mean, he just on his walker. I said, well, you know what? Gave the gospel. Nobody got saved, nothing. 4 weeks later, pastor calls me. He goes, hey, Bray, he goes, do you remember that family that came? I was like, yeah, I do, actually. I said, they didn't really like the message very much. He goes, no, they didn't. He said, but I got to tell you what happened. He said, 2 weeks later, said, I get a call from this guy. He said, do you remember the dad? He was on oxygen. I said, yeah, he didn't even look at me on the way out. He said, pastor, he said, I was at your church 2 weeks ago, and there was a guy preaching, and he preached on this thing called the gospel. He said, I can't stop thinking about it. He said, I just can't get out of my mind. He goes, can I talk to you? Well, pastor was on vacation. So he sent over a deacon and a young guy who was in a Christian college, was an intern. They went over there, and they sat down with him, and they explained the gospel. And this guy said, you know what? I cannot stop thinking about the gospel. And it just convicted over sin, and he trusted Christ. Pastor came back from vacation. That's a week later. The guy got sick, took a turn for the worse right as he got back, went to the hospital. Pastor went to visit him. When he goes in there, all these family come to him and they say, listen, we don't know what's going on with him. He is a different person. And he will not stop talking about this gospel thing. Can you explain that to us? And almost a week to the day, that man passed into eternity. From the day he heard the gospel. You know what? I wasn't smart enough, educated enough, and persuasive enough for that man to receive the gospel. But you know, I didn't have to be. You want to know why? This is the power. It's the power of God into salvation. And that man is in eternity today. He is in the presence of Christ. Not because of Brent Savinsky, but because of the gospel. You know what? Let me tell you something. You may never know the result, but you don't have to know the result. That's not your responsibility. In your witness, in your testimony, in your living, share the gospel, which means I'm sharing Christ. And this gospel, the word of God, is God's power unto salvation. And God will use you. Look at me. If you will simply share the gospel, God will use you to spread the power of the gospel. And there will be sinners reconciled to the Savior through the power of the gospel to the glory of Christ. And he's the only one worthy of it anyway. Our time of reflection and response tonight, would you, in just a moment, we're going to bow our heads and close our eyes together. Just simply reflect and respond to God's word. And I would encourage each of us to simply in our heart before the Lord say, Lord, help me to be willing to share the gospel with others that you may bring my way, just like you did with Philip. Lord, lead someone into my life I can share the gospel to. Give me an opportunity to share the gospel. Help me to be bold with it. Lord, when I don't know what to say, help me to just simply rely upon and rest in the gospel. It's your power, not mine. And Lord, here's the prayer I like to pray. Lord, would you please just let me be a part of the process of bringing a sinner to the Savior through the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed together. Let's take just a minute or two of quiet before the Lord to reflect and to respond to His truth.